Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the human population and 53% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in the social, political, economic, environmental, and legal arenas. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI staff, management, board of directors, volunteers, or sponsors of the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart. I'm introducing you to my co-host here today, Ebony Johnson. Amy is out studying for law exams again this week. And Ebony has some guests lined up for us and some news. Ebony.
I do. Thank you, Sharon. Good afternoon. You can turn your phone on in Green Bank, West Virginia, but you won't get a trace of a signal. If you hit scan on your car's radio, it'll cycle through the dial endlessly, never pausing on a station. This remote mountainous town is inside the U.S. National Radio Quiet Zone, a 13,000 square mile area where most types of electromagnetic radiation on the radio spectrum, which includes radio and TV broadcasts, Wi-Fi networks, cell signals, Bluetooth, and the signal used by virtually every other wireless device, are banned to minimize disturbance around the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, home to the world's largest steerable radio telescope. For most people, this restriction is a nuisance, but a few dozen people have moved to Green Bank, with population of 147, specifically because of it. They say they suffer from electromagnetic hypersensitivity, or EHS, a disease not recognized by the scientific community in which these frequencies can trigger acute symptoms like dizziness, nausea, rashes, irregular heartbeat, weakness, and chest pains. Here in the United States, West Virginia's Radio Quiet Zone has become a gathering place for the hypersensitive since the mid-2000s when they first began arriving, Slate.com reported. And I wanted to share that, Sharon, I mentioned with you, for the first time, I was watching a show called Explorer on the National Geographic Channel the other day, and they talked about these people who are, you know, are so, this one lady says she can literally feel people walking past her house with a cell phone, and she said people think she's crazy, but she's not, and they can really feel this, and they're saying a couple of dozen people have moved to this area, and they know that all of the radio waves are affecting them. And this one scientist said, if we could literally see all of the rays that are actually going on because of all of the wireless and activity we have, we wouldn't even be able to see each other. It's so much. And so it was interesting to me that, you know, these people are moving to this area, and it's right here in the U.S., and it's cell phone free and wireless.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about all the waves that we wouldn't even be able to see each other, but I know it's tremendous, and the impact of it, we have no idea, long range, what it's going to do to us health-wise.
Yeah, so that caught my attention. But that being said, we do have some guests here today that I'm excited that they were able to join us from the Green Party perspective. I'll introduce first Zay Thompson. He is the outreach coordinator of the Kansas City Heart of America chapter of the Missouri Green Party. Zay was involved in organizing the petitioning effort that got the Missouri Green Party on the ballot in 2016, as well as the subsequent electoral campaigns that got the Green Party statewide established party status. Zay. I just thought about that. Zay continues to help organize the Green Party on the state and local levels in Missouri, and he also works in criminal defense, serves as vice chair of the Thomas Hart Benton Sierra Club Group, and is a founding member of the former Casey Arts Eco Village Project. Welcome, Zay.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. And then along with Zay, Valerie Ingham recently ran as a Green Party candidate for Missouri State Representative in District 19, which includes the Columbus Park and historic northeast areas of Kansas City, as well as parts of Sugar Creek and eastern Jackson County. She is currently a co-coordinator for the KC chapter of the Missouri Green Party and also works as an instructional designer. Welcome, Valerie, to the Every Woman Show.
Thank you for having me.
So we want, and we want our listeners to know as well, you can call in. This is pretty informal and open today, 816-931-5534. Again, 816-931-5534. And Zay and Valerie, I just want to get your take from a Green Party perspective on kind of the post-election and what the outcome was for you, and was this, is this a good thing for the Green Party and for our democracy in the United States? Or, you know, how do you feel about some of those issues of people saying, oh, you shouldn't have voted third party because if you did, the outcome would have been different, and, you know, yada, 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 different things we've heard. So jump right in and just at least, and share your perspective on post-election.
Well, let's get a little closer. Is that better? Right away when the results started rolling in on election night, I already heard or saw online, you know, what do you third-party voters think now? And I think it's fine. The percentage of people who voted third-party, and in Missouri there are five parties right now, so it's not just the Green Party, was so much less than the percentage of eligible voters who chose to not vote. So and the percentage, you know, obviously I don't have numbers in front of me, but the percentage of people who voted third party was not enough to sway the vote.
Well, it was if you want to lump in Libertarians and Green Party people into the same vote, but those are people with very different political views. If you took all the Green Party votes in the United States and gave them to Hillary, she still wouldn't have won. You have to look at votes for other third-party candidates to cobble together that vote. And at that point, you're basically just saying, well, if more people would have voted for Hillary, then she would have won, which is true of any candidate in any election. And that means that the Democrats just needed to get out the vote better. So it's really pointless to blame third parties, which third parties were being blamed before the election anyways. But in Missouri, it's exciting because the Missouri Green Party has never had established party status in its history. And what that means is that we have ballot access, like all the other established parties now, for 4 years. And we don't have to collect signatures to get on the ballot. We can focus on running candidates and you know, really bring the message to the people. It's a big hurdle to collect the 10,000 signatures statewide to get on the ballot, and it took up a lot of our energy to August, and then we had a few months to actually campaign and get behind our candidates. And so it's pretty amazing that some of our candidates did so well with that short time span. Jennifer Leach, our lieutenant governor candidate, was the one who got over the 2% of the vote, which gets us established party status. And then Valerie did very well here in Kansas City and got 24% of the vote with a shortened time span. And Stacey Lindgren ran for Jackson County executive and got, I believe, 22%. So we were pretty excited about those results. Missouri went for Trump big, and there was no, you know, Hillary, I believe, got 40%, 30%, something along those lines. And so, you know, it was not close in Missouri. Of course, we don't like to see Trump elected either, but we had problems with Hillary being elected as well. So for us, we're focused on building the party further here, and we believe we've done that with this election.
This election, I voted Green Party for the first time, and this was actually the first time I've actually heard about the Green Party and really had an opportunity to look into its platform. And it was interesting to me because I had different people say, well, kind of the thing of, well, if you do that, then you're going to really, you know, you may really elect somebody you don't want in office. But at the same time, I said, but should, if my vote really does matter, doesn't it then matter who and what I vote for? And if I just say, I'm going to vote based on, that's still another fear factor to me, you know, to say, oh, well, if you need to be more quote unquote strategic about your vote, because maybe going another way, they can't win. So you should at least go with somebody who has a chance to win. It's conflicting because shouldn't I vote for what I really believe in and what I really want to see happen? And I do want, so I just say that because it kind of, you know, occurred, just kind of ruffled my feathers a little bit with some people. I had some conversations about who to vote for and why. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, for years we've been saying, well, from the National Organization for Women standpoint, is where I first heard this, is voting for the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. It has kind of been what our choices have been mm-hmm. in the past. And certainly the Green Party stands for what I believe mm-hmm. would be good for everyone. And how to achieve that, I'm not sure, but certainly you can't argue with the environmental and the social justice mm-hmm. issues that they stand for. And I'm not sure, those are the two big things for me, environment mm-hmm. and social justice, and making sure that everybody is connected and taken care of, because I think that's what government is for, is to help those who are unable to help themselves. And I don't care what anybody might tell you about everybody has equal opportunity. Everybody does not have equal opportunity in this country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm done with my rant.
And we do have a caller. Caller, please state your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Caller, are you there? I see you. Let's see. Huh. Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Did you turn that button up there?
Yep.
Okay.
We're on here. Caller, can you hear me? Well, we'll try and get her back.
One of the things Jill Stein, our 2016 and 2012 presidential candidate, would say was vote your hopes, not your fears, because a lot of the voting in this country is driven by fear. And so what you get is you get people voting against someone instead of for someone. And I think the presidential election really brought that out. And I think it really led people down some blind alleys. So you had the Republicans wanting, not opposing Trump with a unified block at first, because they didn't want to offend his supporters and thought they could get his supporters to vote for the establishment candidate. And so they weren't able to stop him. And they were trying to be strategic, and it backfired. And then, on the other side, people, the Democrats, were voting for electability, and that seem to backfire too. So I think that this, you can be over strategic with your vote and end up getting what you don't want. And that's another thing the Green Party likes to talk about, is that people vote for the lesser evil and continue to get evil and continue to get what we don't want. So.
Yeah, I had to have this conversation a lot before the election, because I was a Bernie supporter and I was terrified of Trump winning. I mean, I didn't in a million years think a reality show, you know, star would.
I don't think he did either, really, because
I'm not
he
sure
was
he
telling us
either.
The election was rigged. He just didn't know it was rigged for him.
But honestly, you know, I voted Green. I voted for Nader in 2004.
He ran in 2002.
So 2002? Okay.
No, he ran in 2000. And
okay.
I voted for him, and I'm
also
proud of that.
Yeah. So, you know, I knew about the Green Party, and I was glad that they had somebody running. But, you know, you can't just say, I've always voted Democrat, so I'm going to vote Democrat, if you don't believe in who you're voting for. The Green Party, what the Green Party stands for is everything that I stand for. It's not about, for me, it wasn't about Jill Stein winning, because I think the Green Party needs to gain more traction, and I hope she runs again, but the more votes the Green Party can get, the more traction they can get, and the more powerful the party will get. And so in future elections, you know, we can really have a chance of getting some people in office in the party. So.
And we do have a caller that, thank you for giving us a call back. Caller, you are on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Val. Hey, friends. Long time listener to Every Woman. Thanks, Sharon, for giving a voice to the Green Party. I really appreciate you having Zay and another Valerie on the air to share with people. I just would like to just pose the question about third parties in other countries that when they have multiple parties in other countries that people want to point to, those parties make deals. Those parties work together rather than against each other to build coalitions to get the greater good. And I think that's part of the problem, is that I think lumping Hillary in as the lesser evil was a lot more misogynistic than anyone wants to give credit to. And I had that realization as a Bernie supporter who did have to figure out whether I was going to vote for Jill Stein or Hillary Clinton, and figure out where my allegiances were. I just would like to hear the Green Party discuss that in terms of, you know, also the other comment I just wanted to make was, you know, the feelings of Ralph Nader in the 2000 election when he stated he'd rather have Bush elected rather than Al Gore, because it might motivate people to do something different and get the electorate actually fired up. Maybe this time it'll work, but it didn't in 2000. So I just wanted to pose that. I'll take my answers off here and continue to listen to you guys. Thanks for the discussion. I'm really glad you guys are sharing it.
Thank you for calling in.
Well, first of all, what's up, Val? Val and I are friends. We've protested the Keystone XL pipeline together and have hung out quite a bit. So I appreciate you joining the discussion, Val. And, you know, the thing, you're right that there's, in other countries, they have a different electoral system that allows for more parties to get more traction than our electoral system. We have what's called first past the post, and it tends to sort people into two giant teams. And that's one of the big hurdles for third parties. And with the dissatisfaction with this election and interest in the renewed interest in the electoral system, we would like to take advantage of the fact that Missouri is one of the, I believe it's 24 states with ballot initiative process, and try to get a different electoral system, such as instant runoff voting or proportional representation on the ballot, and there's, and other parties are interested in working with us on that. So we may be doing that between now and the next election. But when you have, in other countries with multiple parties, they are able to come together and make deals. You're absolutely right. But they actually get real concessions with those deals. What we do here is what you saw, like with the Democrats, where they got the platform changed. But Hillary doesn't have to, if she was elected, she wouldn't have to follow that at all. And then, you know, there's nothing you could do. And then you could say, well, we're going to run against her in the primary. Well, you know, that doesn't usually happen, that a party primary is its own sitting president. And so, you know, the same thing is used to prevent that, oh, what do you want the Republicans to win? You're going to primary your own president. So it's really hard to actually get meaningful concessions. And a lot of us thought that the changing the Democratic platform was really not going to change much. So in different systems, you can actually get concessions. Do you have any thoughts on that, Valerie?
I've thought this for a long time. I mean, the United States is a baby country. We've only been here a couple hundred years, whereas countries in Europe have been there for thousands of years. They've, you know, had time to figure stuff out. They've gone through their adolescent phase and, you know, into their adulthood. And, you know, I think we can look to European countries as kind of, you know, our wise elders. And they've had time to figure things out. We're just, you know, we're just getting it figured out. Our Constitution hasn't changed once. This is the, if I'm correct, our Constitution is the longest constitution. Like, no other country has had a constitution last this long. It hasn't changed.
It must be suiting someone.
Huh?
I said the way it's written must suit someone.
Well, it must. I mean, it's written in such a vague
way. That's tongue
in
cheek.
Yeah, I know. Yes, it's written in such a vague way. It can be interpreted. I mean, we argue about the Second Amendment all the time because it can be interpreted in so many different ways. But I think it's okay to look to Europe, and they do have a multi-party system. I don't see why we couldn't, you know, look to their example and you know, imagine a multi-party system. It's okay to not vote Democrat or Republican. It's okay to vote for a different party if that different party, you know, suits your beliefs better. You know, we don't have to just choose two. I think it's okay to look to Europe for some, you know, as a model of what we could do a little differently.
We are going to take a quick break, a quick station break, and then we'll come back with Zay and Valerie and more on the Green Party perspective post-election. Thanks for tuning in to the Every Woman Show, guys.
Supporting KKFI, the KC Clay Guild Holiday Pottery Sale and Studio Tour, Friday, December 2nd through Sunday, December 4th, where you will find a wide array of local handmade pottery from 56 artists. You will find the KC Clay Guild at 200 West 74th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. KC Clay Guild Holiday Pottery Sale and Studio Tour, Friday, December 2nd through Sunday, December 4th. For more information, including adult and children's classes and gift certificates at kcclayguild.org.
Lisa Hoyos is the director of Climate Parents. She has been a campaigner in the labor and environmental movements for over 20 years, having worked with such organizations as the Blue-Green Alliance, the AFL-CIO, and Greenpeace. She'll be our guest on the next Eco Radio KC, Monday at 6 p.m.
And we are back here with Zay and Valerie speaking from the Green Party perspective post-election. And right before the break, Zay, you were going to say something, if you've kept that in mind.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, we could definitely look to Europe, but also we could look here in our own country just at this election. All the parties got behind a ballot initiative in Maine for instant runoff voting, and they changed the electoral system, and it went through. So they will be a great model to see how that works and to be looking at here in the future.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you believe, or in your experience with politics and parties, that maybe we don't understand about the Electoral College and sort of how our system works and why the two-party system dominance has been able to hold as long as it has here in the U.S.?
Mm. So the besides the first past the post system that we have, I mean, that's the big one, and then the Electoral College, it's a bit of a winner take all type of system where you have to win the state, and then it's a archaic system that was fairly elitist, but isn't actually elitist anymore. You'd have all the electors saying, well, we're going to vote however we want instead of in this election, which some people are calling for, instead of how the people voted. And it was set up also to give the rural states and the slave states at the time more power and kind of balance out more populated states. So it could definitely be changed and be reformed, and the Green Party does want that, want reform, wants one person, one vote, and because when you have lesser populated states having more power than their votes, the people's votes there count more than people's votes elsewhere in more populated states in the urban areas.
Yeah, and you know, the Electoral College originally was, you know, one of the ideas behind it historically was that information 200 years ago traveled very slowly, and facts got, you know, changed and twisted. You know, like when you play telephone when you're a kid, you know, things get changed over time. And the public couldn't really, well, I can't make that decision, but when they set up this college, they didn't really trust the public to make informed decisions because it was so difficult for them to get informed. And so that's part of why you have this popular vote, but then you have the Electoral College that, you know, may vote in a different way than, you know, as we have just seen, than what the popular vote is. But that's, you know, 200 years ago. People are more informed now. Education is better now than it was 200 years ago. So we can make informed, educated decisions now in a much different way. If we keep something like the Electoral College, it doesn't make sense that we would keep it exactly the same way when information and education has changed.
Although I would say that I've been hearing it from one of my office mates that it's pretty well known that the false news that's been put out over the internet or Facebook could have largely impacted the election because people weren't well informed. They were misinformed.
Yeah, you get so much. Yeah. We have so much access to information, disinformation, that it's, you know, it's like a fire hose. And you have to go and do a lot more research there. It's also, the internet's broken down the media's authority, basically. Mm-hmm. Anyone can be a media outlet now, which is good and bad. You know, there's you can pump out a lot of false information like what you're yeah. talking about, but you can also, if the establishment is putting out false information, then the people can put out accurate information, and we've seen that happen a lot as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of talk about the liberal bias, the biased liberal media. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't see the mainstream media as being liberal at all. KKFI yeah. is a liberal media outlet, mm-hmm. Certainly with more, to me, voice of the people speaking out and refuting some of the, look at the publicity, the free publicity that Trump gets and got. Still, because he was a reality TV star or whatever.
Yeah. And there's a lot of conservative media, too. It's not like there's only liberal media. There's conservative media, too.
Well, I don't think there is any liberal media.
Philosophically, in my opinion, is everything is biased. Everything is biased. Because we're all speaking from our own experiences and our own thoughts and our own upbringings. Everything I say is biased. So there's going to be a media bias. You absolutely can't avoid that. And I think that's what you have to keep in mind when you listen to the news is, someone wrote this article from their perspective, and they can try and be as as objective as possible, but you can't be 100%. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also too simplistic to look at the media and say, "Well, is it conservative or liberal?" Because mm-hmm. the corporate media is driven by money and by keeping the status quo in place, and so that can be driven by money. And Trump had great ratings, so then they're going to give Trump a lot of. Yeah. Publicity, but the corporate establishment in America at this point tends to have some more liberal cultural values than it did back in the 60s or earlier, but when it comes to economics, no. And so it depends on what issue, it depends on where you're at in the spectrum, and there I believe there is, within the corporate media, a status quo, worldview that is preserved through their coverage, and both people on the right and the left have trouble with that and can criticize that and struggle against that.
And I think that kind of brings up another good point is everybody knows what's going on at Standing Rock right now. And there are other important issues going on in the United States. For instance, what's happening in Flint, Michigan. Mm-hmm. They still don't have clean water, but nobody's talking about Flint, Michigan right now. we're all talking about Standing Rock, which is also a problem. I'm not saying it's not a problem, but the problem in Flint hasn't been solved, but we're also not talking about it. We're done with it. It doesn't get good ratings, but Standing Rock does. So, you know, when the media moves away from Standing Rock, are they going to move away from it because that problem is solved or because they found something else to talk about that's new and fresh and interesting? So as an activist, you have to pay attention to not just to what's going on in the news or what's popular to support, but are these problems really getting solved?
Valerie, can you speak more to just your experience running and running for office and how you, just your experience, how you felt about it, and would you do it again? Was it worth it?
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. Number one, I thought that I might have a chance at winning, and you know, I did pretty well given the circumstances, but regardless of whether I would win or not, I was able to go out and talk to people about issues that were important. I was able to help convince people to vote because some people told me I'm not voting at all. And I got to have conversations with people that ended with, okay, well, I'm going to go vote for you. And so that got them to the polls, even if they only voted for me, you know, and didn't vote for anything else. So I was able to open up, you know, dialogue and talk about issues with people in a way that maybe they hadn't thought of before. And I think that is really important, regardless of whether or not I won. I think, you know, the person who won is going to do a fine job in office. And I definitely would, I'm planning on doing this again, actually.
Well, no one could argue with your 24%. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, and I got started late because we were waiting for ballot access. I had very limited funds. Yeah, I think I feel like that was a success, definitely.
Well, and the nice thing about Valerie's race too was that if she wouldn't have run in the general, then there would have, it was just the Democrat. There was no race, no choice, no conversation of ideas. It was just the Democratic primary, and then nothing in the general if Valerie hadn't got in there. So, I mean, is that really what democracy is about? Is that we don't have much choice? I don't think so. And I think that, you know, in Missouri, it's really interesting. In a lot of legislative races, there's one major party politician who runs unopposed. And it has a lot to do with how we've kind of sorted ourselves into different communities, but also just the parties giving up on areas, the major parties giving up on areas, and the Green Party would like to bring our fresh message to those districts and let those people know you have a choice. You know, we're not giving up on you.
And there are a lot of Republicans in office in Missouri right now, and a lot of those Republicans ran unopposed. So there are a lot of Republicans, not necessarily because people are voting Republican, but because they don't have a choice. No one's running against them. So you can't vote Democrat. You can't vote Green. You can't vote anything but, or not vote. I mean, I guess voting Republican or not voting, those are your only two choices in a lot of the districts. So
it is pretty sad. Missouri and Kansas are pretty sad examples. I would prefer to have the politics of the East Coast or West Coast here, frankly, because people aren't running against them. Why aren't there people standing up against their draconian policies and the misogynistic viewpoints and the hatred toward women? Am I ranting again?
But no.
I mean, it's so obvious. Why won't someone stand up and run against it? Where are the people? Where are the thinking people in this country?
Here I am. I don't know. Somebody messaged me when I first started running from, he was from mid-Missouri, so he can, or I guess I don't know this person's gender, so I should not be so gender specific, but this person said I had always thought of running but didn't think that I could, and you can, so it could just be a case of people not knowing that they can. You can. The requirements are not, you don't have to have a college degree, you don't have to have experience. But if, you know, you can do it. So,
And we do have a caller. Caller, you are on air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name's Teresa Wilkie, and I live in Lawrence.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi there, Teresa.
Go ahead with your comment, Teresa.
I wanted to give a tremendous amount of credit to the efforts of the Missouri Green Party. Hats off to you. There is a Missouri Green Party.
Thank you.
And thanks. As KKFI is a liberal media and broadcasts 50-50 in Kansas and Missouri, please be careful to say the Green Party in Kansas is continuing to meet. We did gain ballot access. We don't have a Kansas Green Party yet. Hopefully we'll get there. And thanks. Thanks for your program.
Thank you. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling
Thank
in.
You.
Thanks, Teresa. Teresa led the effort to get Jill Stein on the ballot in Kansas. And so we worked with her here in the Kansas City area to collect signatures for both Missouri and in Kansas from people in Missouri and Kansas, since we mix it up here.
What if, for people who don't know, can you at least, because there may be some people listening like me that had never heard of the Green Party, can you just give kind of a bit of an overview of what is it, what it stands for, and just any kind of take on that that may be helpful for people to know?
The easiest thing to remember is another thing from the Stein campaign is people, peace, and planet over profit. And it's, of course, the Green Party has a platform that's a lot larger than that, but I mean, that's it in a nutshell. And so, you know, we want to stand up for justice. We want to improve people's lives. And we, of course, the environment is very important to us, and we're very concerned about the climate crisis we're in, the wider ecological crisis that we're in. We want to stop just waging unnecessary war. I mean, we've been in war and conflict going on for years now. It seems to be the status quo now. And we want to stop that, and we want to focus on repairing the environment and building up people's lives. You know, we believe in single-payer health insurance. We believe that we need a climate mobilization like what happened in World War II, where the entire economy is transformed and works to reduce the carbon before it's too late. I mean, we're almost out of time here, and it's going to take a lot of coordination. You know, we're against police brutality and violence, especially since it falls on the most vulnerable communities of color and the gay and lesbian community. And you know, we just really think that the country needs a radical change, and I understand people's fear about radical change, but mm-hmm. we're at the point where that is necessary, or we're really going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the efforts that the Green Party has made and just the causes that you champion can be, that the people can take more power back and still make certain things happen, regardless to who's in office? And I say that specifically, I was having a conversation with my sister, and I forget who she talked to or where she got this information from, but she said this person's family members, they said, like, they're not overly concerned about who's in the office because they're going to take care of each other. They're kind of, you know, not to say that it doesn't matter, because obviously that it does, but they had built a sense of community amongst themselves, and, you know, I guess kind of maybe had the means to do that. But knowing that there are causes and issues that we can take up on our own, that we can take care of each other, that we can, you know, do certain things that maybe we don't feel like we really can, or feel like, oh, the government, you know, has so much more power than we do as a people. I'm kind of getting into some thoughts there.
But. Yeah, the government is the people, though, and yeah. I think that we need to remember that the government is not in charge of us. We're in charge of the government. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. if you want to know why countries like France have so many freedoms. It's because they're protesting all the time. It's just the smallest thing that they don't like, they take to the streets every
time. Spain, the same with Spain.
Spain's the same. Mm-hmm. So we're the boss. I'm the boss. You're the boss. You know, we get to tell the government, you know, that they're doing something that we don't like. And we do that through votes. We do that through petitions. We do that through calling your legislator. Call them on the phone. Calling on the phone is the best way to do that. Find out what those numbers are. You know, write letters. Join groups. You know, go to protests. If, you know, you're like me, I can't always make it to protests. There's, you know, lots of things that you can do. And talking about community and taking care of each other, we can do that, and we should do that more than we're doing now, just on a more personal level. Mm-hmm. So,
I do have a question about, because I hear a lot of people say, well, call the politicians, and I do understand that to a degree. And on the other hand, I hear the argument of, well, constantly follow the money. You may give them calls, you may do all of these things, but they are going to go with where the, you know, who got them elected, where the most money is, and that's how our system is actually currently working.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm with the Green Party. I'm really tired of sitting in Democrats' offices and trying to lobby them, and they say, well, thanks for electing us, but you're going to have to build enough power to force us to do the right thing that Democrats are supposed to stand for. I'm just tired of doing that. I'd rather work to replace them. And so that's why I'm a Green, and I that sense that, you know, it doesn't matter who's in office, they're going to take care of themselves, I think comes from the fact that our system's been so corrupted by money. And the Green Party is a party that doesn't take money from lobbyists or super PACs or anything like that. It's funded by the people, by the Green Party members. And so it's important, if you are a Green out there, to donate. You know, that's the only way, or the politicians have no other choice but to go to where the money's at. It takes money to campaign. But we're, you know, we don't want to be corrupted by that, and so we will campaign without taking these donations with strings attached to them. And I think, you know, to the point of people just kind of not being involved in politics. I mean, the old saying, you know, take an interest in politics, or politics takes an interest in you. I mean, you can try to build a community. I'm working on an eco-village right now, but you're going to run up against laws. You're going to run up against politics anywhere you're at, whatever you're doing, and you're going to have to get involved, and you're going to have to persuade people. You're going to have to change things.
Yeah. And with that, we are going to take our final station break for the show, and we will be back with Zay and Valerie talking about the Green Party.
This week, we talk with Alan Chambers about his decision to close Exodus International and walk away from the notion that you can, quote, pray away the gay.
We marginalized, we hurt people, and LGBT people needed to know that sometimes people apologize without saying, but.
I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon.
Stockton, California, recently elected the first black mayor, having received over 70% of the vote, and at 25, is believed to be the city of Stockton's youngest mayor. From bankruptcy to reinvention, the city of Stockton, California, on the next Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
And we are back. Thank you for tuning in to the Every Woman Show here on 90.1 FM, KKFI. And we are here with Zay and Valerie, who are Green Party members and champions, and Valerie even ran for office. And we're talking about the election, post-election Green Party perspective, and just kind of our government and politics in general. And so as we're back here, is there any kind of major issue that the Green Party is protesting for now, as you spoke to Valerie about some of the other countries that they're protesting all the time, and you know, to make sure their voices are heard and things happen that they want to see happen. So is now that the election is over, what's next for the Green Party, and more importantly, the issues that are important to the Green Party, the social justice and environmental issues?
Do you want to talk
about? Yeah, we've been involved in the supporting Standing Rock, and that's a pretty prominent issue to us right now. I mean, that's one of the front lines in the intersection of social justice and climate justice, and the struggle for survival planet-wide, as well as how the Native Americans have been treated in this country since the beginning of this country. So that's a pretty big issue to us. We are assessing where we're at and where we want to go at this point. And mm-hmm. I think that, like I mentioned, a ballot initiative for electoral change will probably be something pretty prominent on our agenda. We also, Jill Stein has got involved in some and calling for some recounts in mm-hmm. Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania mm-hmm. To highlight the fact that our electoral process needs an overhaul beyond just the system. It's fairly creaky and open to a lot of fraud, and so that's something that her campaign is focused on. Not all of the party feels that that's a priority, but that's fine. There could be a plurality of views in the party. You know, Donald Trump's going to do some pretty terrible things. If Hillary Clinton would have gotten elected, she would have done some terrible things that we would have opposed. So we're going to oppose those things as they happen. And one of the things will probably be standing up to support our immigrant brothers and sisters, our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, people who are going to be bear the brunt of this administration, which seems to have taken us towards fascism more than any other administration has done in the past, or at least they're threatening to. Who knows what they'll actually do once they're in power? So we'll be part of that broad-based resistance coalition that's been forming.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, and I didn't warn you that I was going to say this, but I just thought about it. Sharon, you mentioned to me last week maybe that you are going to do the Million Woman March.
Oh, yes, and I did make that claim. I intend to do the Million Woman March.
Excellent.
In D.C. And the good news is, this just made me realize, oh my God, I've got technology coming to me that will allow me to go to the airport and be able to see the gate that I'm going to. This will be so marvelous. I'm so excited. But
Sharon,
anyway, yes.
We'll sidebar because I'm excited for you too. Can you share with our viewers what technology you're talking about and why you're so excited? Our listeners.
Well, it's called eSight, and on Channel 5 News last night, they had a little boy in Oak Grove, Missouri, I think, who has these new, like, as they said, cyborg-type vision. It's computerized glasses that restore your vision. I can read 20/40 with these glasses on when I was legally blind without the glasses. And it's pretty exciting anyway. It's going to open up. I'll be able to knit again. I'll be able to operate the board here at KKFI.
It's life-changing.
It is. It's, yeah, it's amazing.
That's awesome. Your sign should be, Trump, I see your shenanigans.
I can see you now. And do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a downfall to the new vision to be able to actually see you.
Yeah. And that was really a sidebar. But anyway, yes, that I think that march is going to be exciting, and I plan to be there.
Sharon, can you talk a little? What can you give us what information you have on that march and what it's about?
You know, it's today after the inauguration, and that is really all of the information I have so far. I just heard about it and said, I'm going. And In fact, one might want to be there the day of the inauguration to be in the protest, too, although it's very frightening nowadays to go to a protest when they've got these rubber bullets and stun guns and things that they're doing to people. I am kind of fearful. Somebody warned me against going to Standing Rock because it was so brutal. People are being brutalized there. And I have had people tell me that they aren't hearing about Standing Rock and wondering why. Now, you may be tuned in. Where are you hearing about Standing Rock? I've only seen it once mentioned once in the news.
I don't watch TV. I watch Netflix.
Well, there you go.
TV's not covering Standing Rock.
I don't know what TV is doing, honestly, because we just watch Netflix and Hulu. So I get my news from the internet, from various, you know, people post things on Facebook or Twitter. I use a site called Feedly that is kind of like an RSS feed, and so I tell it I want to see these different news sites, you know, the New York Times or, you know,
what's
whatever.
It called? Can you spell
Feedly,
that?
Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y. And it's sort of like the old RSS feeds in a way, but you can tell them which news outlets you like or which blogs you want to follow. I mean, it's anything on the internet, and it just aggregates it for you. And so I see things that way. But I also pay attention to, you know, some you know, liberal news like Dot Mike or Good or things like that. So they might be more in tune to things like that than like the New York Times or something like that might be, or the news, the TV.
You know, speaking of news items, it's amazing how few people know that Trump has been accused and a judge actually allowed it to go to trial. And I think the woman has rescinded twice, but it's coming back out. He raped a 13-year-old. And nobody knows that. Yeah. When I heard that, it was October 31st when I heard it. And I thought, well, this is it. His goose is cooked.
Sharon, I have to take a pause here and say, do you remember you said on October the 29th on our station, you said that something you felt you had like a premonition that something was going to come out about Trump on October 31st.
And that was it. That was what I heard on October 31st. That was what I heard. Maybe other people knew about it.
I didn't hear it.
But actually, October 31st, that news came out, and I thought, this is it. People will not elect a rapist.
But Sharon, I actually did. You're listening to you now is the first time I've heard that. I haven't been, watching so much. You know,
you knew about it.
I knew about it. Yeah,
and it's coming back again. Yeah. I think, and other people have joined.
I thought he was brought up on charges.
He was.
Well, it's a civil case. It's a civil case that woman suing him. So, but yeah, it's shocking that that didn't tank his. That none of the stuff that was brought up tanked his run. But, you know, I mean, I think that also speaks to the fact that people really wanted to see change in it's another reason why I think third parties are good, because if that's your only option for change is Donald Trump, I mean, come on, we need other options than that, you know? that's horrible. But I think that, come back to the media, I think that the local media in Missouri has actually done a pretty good job of covering Standing Rock, at least because of local people here have been doing so many actions and bringing that presence to the fore, and also because it affects us here. I mean, if there's a giant oil spill, it'll affect our drinking water. Our water comes from that area, and so, you know, it's something that everybody around here should be worried about. And so I think that the media here has done a good job. National media is finally starting to pay some attention.
Well, which local media would you be pointing to? I mostly listen to CBS, I guess.
Well, when we had a protest recently out at the Corps of Engineers at the Federal Building, the TV stations came out and covered it. And then Joplin, Missouri, has been pretty active in protesting. The Green Party down there has been leading the way down there, and they've had a lot of the newspapers cover them.
So you would have had to have seen it just that night of the event, because it's not something that they're updating regularly.
No, I mean, I don't think that the media here is sending people to Standing Rock, but some a Green Party caravan from Springfield went up to Standing Rock, and then they came back with stories, and the a lot of Missouri media interviewed them and ran stories on that, on their experience there. So.
Springfield can be surprisingly in your face sometimes for a Bible Belt area, I've noticed.
Yeah, they've got a vibrant group down there.
And, yeah.
Well, there's a college.
That's
when
right.
You get young
makes
people
a difference.
Involved, they,
yeah.
They're very energetic and passionate about things.
Mm-hmm. Now, Zay, on a personal note, you have a newborn.
I do.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
A very, very new. How many weeks? Is it a month yet?
He's 7 weeks as of yesterday.
Okay.
His name's Banyan Blaze.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. Has that fueled your efforts at all, having a newborn and saying, hey, you know, what I'm doing really does matter, and I should keep going? And
absolutely. I mean, I struggled with the thought of even bringing a kid to the world. Mm-hmm. I was unsure that I wanted to do that, because I think in my lifetime we're going to see the climate crisis get to a point where it's disrupting society pretty badly. More, I mean, it's already disrupting things, and I fear for his future. And that's just one issue. You know, there's a lot of things. You know, if we continue the slide into fascism, it makes me afraid to raise a kid in that environment too. So it does fuel my struggle, but it also slows me down. So,
yeah, what you're saying about the future and our children and grandchildren brought to mind to me two people that we would be remiss if we didn't call into this talk: Ben Chelsis and Dee Barry, who were actually, I believe, co-founders of the National Green Party.
Absolutely,
and they're right here, local people.
Oh,
both
wow.
of them are. Ben is in ill health, and Dee's still perking right along pretty good last time I saw her, but they were really leaders here locally and statewide for the Greens for a long, long time.
Well, thank you for
and that. good wishes go out to both of them.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. We owe a lot to, the Green Party owes a lot to those two.
Thank you so much for that, for that piece of history, Sharon, actually. And thank you to Zay and Valerie for coming in and spending a part of your Saturday with us on the Every Woman Show and speaking from the Green Party perspective post-election. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And please stay tuned, everyone, for next we have Urban Connections with Donna Wolf, and then later, guess who's coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson. You have been listening to the Every Woman Show here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody.